Okay, good morning, ladies. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Unbelievable. We are in the month of Sivan and into the month of June. I don't know where time goes, but here we are post Shavuos. So let us begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please, which is inside the front flap. Also, with your permission, Alyssa, as we mentioned last time, Schus for Shalema, for a mother in the community of four children, Bracha Vigail, Bas Rachel Gita, Sheva for Shalema, Besoksha Archel Yisra. So here we are post Shavuos. It is also, of course, Parshas Baaloscha, and Parshas Baaloscha is the parashat that is famous for a few things. The inverted nuns, the menorah, it opens with the menorah, but it's also very famous for Perek Yud Beis, and Perek Yud Beis is that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara to Aaron about Moshe. So a very timely way to resume our learning. So we are actually on page 56, but what I want to do is the springboard, so to speak, for today's class is actually skip to page 58. Okay, it's okay. We're going to go back to 56, don't worry. But what I want to do is actually fast forward to page 58, and what we're going to look at first is the last paragraph on the page, and then we will have some insights, okay? So, page 58. It's more important to keep the mitzvos than to bring the karbanos when you note that Knesset Yisrael has been, we have survived of Salvechik says, I'm going to paraphrase of Salvechik. If Salvechik says we have survived 2,000 years without the Beis Hamikdash, we would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. So we could say similarly, based on the statement of the Chafetz Chaim, Kima mitzvus hu yoser chashuv me'akravas karbanos, we have survived 2,000 years without hakravas karbanos. We would not have survived one day without somebody keeping the mitzvos, because the mitzvos are still relevant, and the karbanos, Rachman al-San, that we don't have them, but Lamaisa, Knesset Yisrael is very much still here. But when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Taras HaMashvacha, when it comes to Kashos, when it comes to Limud Torah, when it comes to all the mitzvahs, Tzedakah, we still keep them. So clearly, Kiyum HaMitzvahs, based on our history, is Yosar Chashuv Me'akravas Karbanos. So then the Chavetz Chaim brings us a proof from Sefer Shmuel. Ukamo Shekasu B'Shmuel, as the Pasuk says B'Shmuel, Shemoa, it's better to listen, L'Shmo, Mizavach Tov, from a good Zavach, a good sacrifice, L'Hakshiv, to pay attention to Hashem, Mecheliv Ilim, from the fat of rams. So, and we know that the Navi admonishes us, by the time of the Churban, do you think Hashem wants your empty korbanos? Hashem wants your ma'isim tovim. Imi kabal al atzma choves hashmira. Therefore, if you accept upon yourself the choves hashmira, the obligation to guard your tongue, lishmar aspiv, to guard your mouth, mikol dibur she'asarto ha-Torah, from everything that the Torah was isur you, rechilus, onas, tvarim. I'm going to be speaking a little bit more about Onas Tvarim today, specifically in regard to the sin of Miriam and Aaron and Moshe. Onas Tvarim is verbal abuse. How much pleasure you will bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you can control your mouth. And we know that the Karbanos, he states it actually in the paragraph just preceding, but repeatedly in the book of Vayikra, repeatedly in the beginning, especially in the beginning of Vayikra, Vayikra and Tzav, the Pasuk says over and over in regard to different Karbanos, Nachas Ruach lefanai, reach nicholach. I said the Rashi first. The pasuk says repeatedly, reach nicholach lefanai. Hashem says in regard to the korbanos, it smells nice before me. So what Hashem smells? Hashem doesn't need our smell. And Rashi says repeatedly, nachas ruach lefanai, she'amarti v'nasa ritzoni. It gives nachas to Hashem that He spoke and that His word was fulfilled. So the Chavetz Chaim says, kama nachas ruach yagil kosh baruch hu. How much pleasure, like a child who behaves. How does the parent feel? Think about it. Think about it sitting here. How does the parent feel when the child misbehaves and really acts out and doesn't act well? It's not that you don't love the child, so Hashem always loves us, but you're frustrated that the child is behaving in such a fashion. Probably for a teacher also in a classroom of young children. I've never been there, but it's not that you don't love the child. You always love the child. Hashem always loves us. But Hashem wants us to do what's right for who?
Us.
For us. Just like the parent wants the child to make the right decisions for the well-being of the child. I'm not talking about the Shalom Bayis in the home and the classroom. I'm just talking about Labaisa. You want to see your child or your Talmid or Talmidah grow up to productive, successful, happy, Torah, the Yashar Jew. So when they make the wrong choices, it's sad. It's very sad. So what the opposite, Lahafich is also true. Lishmaras piv mikol dibasha sarta Torah v'chilas and asraim kamas nachas ruach egel kosh baruch. We say to a parent, you should have nachas. We say to a teacher, you should have nachas from the child. So Lav de alf of daos, we bring nachas ruach to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shatziva lanu b'Torah al kol zeh v'naas haratzon. The Torah commanded us about all of this, and we should do as well. And it was a ha'ara that we said a couple of classes ago that made such a big impression on me that I really never considered. When you look at how many times kashrus, the halachos of tumah and tahara in regard to forbidden foods, are reiterated in the Torah. Parsha Shemini tells us about kashrus. It says three times in the Torah: Lo tevasha gadi b'chelav ima, not to cook with it, not to have hana from it, and not to eat it. Three times. And yet the Chavetz Chaim spends a whole sefer quoting verses from the Psukim in the Torah that tell us about watching your mouth. So you bring nachas ruach to Hashem. Ulahefa chas v'shalom im ein ha'adam sam lev odos dibro. If a man does not pay any attention to the news of his words, to what he's speaking about, v'hu adsoka hefker. It's just like hefker. How would you translate hefker? Meaningless, worthless. How do they translate into English? Worthless. Is a term that is used when it comes to the mitzvah and tazria mitzvah in the beginning of mitzvah. When it says he has to bring birds, he says because birds chirp. So what are you doing with your tongue? You're constantly just chirping. Whatever you feel like saying, you're saying, and what's going to happen is, the fact is, certainly, in the days of your life, you will be over on all of these parshas in the Torah that address the kol chadibur. So when we talk about the mashal of the parent, it makes a lot of sense to us sitting here. Parents slash teacher, we can understand it very strongly. A parent really does have tzar. Chava is told, Rashi brings down, Chava is told as part of the klalos, after they eat from the forbidden fruit, she will now experience tsa'ar gidol banim. Tsa'ar gidol banim is the pain associated with child rearing. So we do the same thing to our avinu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is avinu malkeinu, so what do? We do the same thing. We cause the mamash tsa'ar. Kisharosh b'nei adam mafkirim, from hefker. That word is from hefker. How do they translate hefker? Reject. It's translated as reject. But like, you're like hefker with it. It doesn't count as anything. When man is just hefker with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs v'alkein, mishu yarei l'nafsho, someone who fears for his soul, yizahar me'od b'zeh, you will be very, look what he says, what are you afraid of? He doesn't say you're afraid of the repercussions, you're afraid that the person you spoke about will know. You're afraid of machlokas, which you should be afraid of machlokas. Chavetz Chaim would run from machlokas like he would run from a fire. But you're afraid for ultimately the stain on your soul. Yizahar me'od b'zeh v'ashrei chelko. He will be careful with this, and fortunate is his portion. You know, I heard one of the Shirim on Yom Tov by Rabbi Penner, the Dean of Reeds, who was talking about stages of the soul in Avelis. It was very, very interesting. The different stages of Avelis and what happens to the soul according to four different interpretations was very interesting. But one of the things he said, and it was very validating, I was very happy because that's how I've sort of said it over. He said that some people say, and he was quoting sources, that when you get up to the Yeshiva Shamal, the Gehenim is going to be nothing more than, and I'm putting that in quotes, I'm showing you back your life. On a video, so you imagine sort of some sort of video. That in itself is going to be such busha uchlima, such shame and embarrassment, because they're going to show you back life, and what are you going to say? So we have to be yari lenafsho, have to be afraid for my actual soul, and if I'm afraid for my soul, yizahar me'o b'zeh v'ashrei chelko, be very careful, and fortunate is his lot. So he speaks about onas dvarim, thank you so much, I don't even know what that is. My notes, thank you. Okay, so he speaks here about onas dvarim. It is one of the things that we say in the tefillah al hadibur, zadim adaber divrei sheker, chanufa mecholkas kas gaiva onas dvarim. As we have reiterated, perhaps in every class, the sefer is about so much more than just lashon hara, because our mouths are about so much more than lashon hara. There's so many more components that we fail to take into account. So I'm going to quote something that I quoted last time in regard to onas dvarim from Rav Eli Melech Biderman, and then I'm going to look at something else. So Biderman quotes quotes the pasuk, "Lo tonu ish es amiso v'yareisam el kecha." Do not harm your fellow man. Mash says, "Onas tvarim," and you shall fear God. There are many forms of onas tvarim. Among them are insulting, embarrassing, causing harm in any other way. In common English, is translated as verbal abuse. The following are examples of lo tonu, do not cause verbal abuse, stated in the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. One says, quote, "I remember the averos you committed when you were younger. You are suffering because you sinned and did such and such." The Gemara says, okay, so I'm bringing that up. Don't direct someone to the wrong store. That too is onas tvarim. Someone says to you, "Where can I buy a pot?" Someone who's new to the neighborhood. This is what the Gemara says, not in this example. But when someone asks you, "Where can I find a wheat merchant?" Don't advise them to go to someone who doesn't carry wheat. So someone says, "Where can I find a pot?" You would say, "Go to Sterling Electronics." If you tell them to go to Gourmet Glatt, then that is actually onas tvarim. It's not only those lifnei iver, those sitan misha, but it's mamish onas tvarim. Rashi says it's forbidden to insult your fellow man or to give him advice. To give him advice, she'ena hoganis, though, that is not appropriate for him. So there is a inin of onas tvarim. I remember the averus committed when you were younger. You're suffering because you sinned and you did such and such. We're not allowed to remind a person of their past and cause them undue shame, an embarrassment, because let's say they're a changed person. So why are you bringing up the negativity of the race? Furthermore, of course, this relates to Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara, just on the level of the Pshat, Lashon Hara, it's a bad tongue. It's bad tongue. So I just want to look at the Pesukim with you. I will just read them to you. The Pesukim that detail in the Sukh's Parsha, the sin, if you will, of Miriam and Aaron. We're talking about a great tzaddikus here. We're talking about a neviah. We're talking about Miriam, who told her parents, "You're worse than Paro. Paro's goes are on the girls, your goes are on the males and the females. Paro's goes are on the olam haza, your goes are on olam haba." And because of her, her parents did get back together, we know. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born as a product of the union. So we're not talking about a pasha Jane Doe here. We're talking about Miriam HaTzadekas, Miriam HaNeviah. The whole Be'er Mayim was in her merit, the whole 40 years in the desert. She was able to take a bitter time, mar, and make it Maya, make it life-giving waters. So we do have to keep that in mind when we're talking about Miriam. However, remember we saw the Ramban together in class, and the Ramban says, you would think, what does the Ramban say? Who remembers? You would think we should not publicize the sin of Miriam. We have a mitzvah to remember. One of the Sheish Zechiris is to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. But the Ramban says, aren't we spreading Lashon Hara by talking about what Miriam did? Remember? For those who were here. So the Ramban says, why, you would think, we should cover up what Miriam did. We shouldn't talk about what Miriam did. But because of the great impact and import of learning about Shmiras Halashon, the Torah tells us this story and publicizes it so that we can all take a lesson from her. But to daber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe, it's the beginning of Parakut Beis, in Bamidbar Ba'aloscha, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe al Odo Sa'isha Hakushis Asher Lakach, because of the news of the Cushi woman that he took. There are many different interpretations. What exactly did they speak about? But Pashut, something about their marriage. Ki isha kushis lakach, he took a kushis woman. Rashi says she was very beautiful, but we know that the common interpretation which Rashi gives is, what were they saying about Moshe? That he separated from his wife. He separated from his wife. And then they say, Harak ach b'Moshe dibar Hashem, halo gam banu dibar Hashem. Moshe thinks he's so great, he had to separate from his wife. Hashem also speaks to us. In other words, you need to be, we don't know from this, but you need to be in a state of tahara when Hashem speaks to you for a Navi. Moshe always had to be in a state of tahara because he never knew when Hashem was going to come to him. So Miriam and Aaron said, Hashem also speaks to us. Aaron, the Torah tells us there are different instances when Hashem speaks to Aaron. Miriam is a Navi. So who does Moshe think he is that he has to separate from his wife? Hashem overheard them speaking about. So we understand that here they're speaking with To'elus. It's his brother and his sister, the same brother and sister who stood by the river. The Baal Turim points out that when Baspar stretches forth her hand and she opens the basket, and it says, Vihine na'ar bocha, there is a lad who is crying. Lad crying is not Moshe. The Baal Turim says it's referring to Aaron. So you have, at the beginning of history of the Jewish people, the beginning of leadership, you have Moshe floating in the basket, Vati, Satsav, Achoso, Merchok, Ladam, Mayaselo, Miriam is standing there, Aaron is hiding in the reeds and crying. So they're speaking about for Moshe's good. And nevertheless, they misunderstand something in regard to the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they make assumptions. You know, it's so easy to make assumptions. I'm finding I'm more and more aware, I think partly because of this class, that to be done is called Adam Makav Schos. There is nothing that is at face value. I gave my kids a very interesting example. I was recently at a certain simcha, and the Bala simcha was holding her phone the entire time. So if you would have walked in and you would not have, see, and you wouldn't have known anything, you would have thought, what kind of Bala simcha is this? Why is she actually holding her phone? Why doesn't she put it away? She has to actually be holding her phone. But I happen to know that she's a very busy doctor and she's a one-man show and she always needs to be on call. And perhaps if it was in her pocket, such a busy environment, she would not feel the vibration, never mind hear it. It was very busy. It was very that. And she is a one-man show. She needs to be always on call. So she had a phone. But if you don't know, so you walk in, so it's so easy to make assumptions. So here Miriam and Aaron made an assumption about Moshe. Furthermore, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings something very interesting down in his Aleinu L'Shabayach, and he says that they were speaking about Tzipora's Yichus, which we're not going to go into so much now, but they're speaking about her Yichus. She came from Yisro, the priest of Minyan. Why did he marry her? Why didn't he marry someone from the children of the Shvatim? Why did he go to someone from a Midianite woman to marry her? So, and in fact, when Zimri and Cosby sin, that's exactly what they say to him. If you say that this Cosby is forbidden, who permitted to you? That Midianite woman. Who let you marry her? So Zilberstein says they bring down her tainted, and I'm putting that in quotes, Yechus. So there's a lot of basically misunderstanding in regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Salvechik says specifically, what did they misunderstand? The segula quality of Moshe. They didn't understand that Moshe was not like regular Nevi'im. In fact, that's what Hashem says. Hashem says to them, Peh el peh adaber bo. I speak to Moshe mouth to mouth. He's a different personality than all of you. There was a lot of misunderstanding. And the reason I'm bringing this up, specifically this Nakuda, so Rav Salvechik says they didn't understand the segula quality in Moshe. He was different. He was different. Lamaisa, they said, does he think he's so different? And the answer is, yes, he was. And who appointed him to be so different? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone has a different tafkid. It struck me very profoundly for the first time this year when I was davening Musaf on Shavuos, and we say in Shemona Esrei, Ish kemat nas yado, kevirkas asher Hashem elokecha nosina. Every man appears before Hashem l'shal shugad, kemat nas yado, with the gift of his hand, with the bracha that Hashem gave you. So I think we could extrapolate from there, profound Mr. Haskell, when you come to stand before Hashem, you can only offer from what He gave you. Ish kemat nasiado. I can only give to Hashem the present of my hand. I can't be Mir Maravi. I can't be Rabbi Zinkanievsky. I can't be this God. You have to be who you can be, but you have to make sure you take the brachos that Hashem give you and come before Hashem. Miriam had her tafkid, Aaron certainly had his tafkid. They failed to understand, based on the sources, Moshe's tafkid, whether it was tainted yichus, or Rav Salvechik says they didn't understand the school of quality, or they thought Moshe doesn't need to separate from his wife. Everything was al pi hadibur. So what happens when we have misunderstandings is that very often it leads to nas tvarim. Right? When we do not understand each other, that's what it leads to. Verbal abuse. And the Chafetz Chaim says, how much pain do you cause the bear? It's true. Think of when two children are in machlokas with each other and being not nice to each other. Who's also suffering? The parent. Why do you feel sorry? They're not insulting you, but how does a parent feel when those children, not only one is misbehaving, but are being mean to each other? So you feel terrible. Or in a classroom, the same thing. You feel terrible. So that's exactly what the Chavetz Chaim says in the paragraph we began with. You either cause nachas ruach to Hashem or you cause tzar to Hashem. So in this idea of onas dvarim and keeping in mind that misunderstanding and jumping to conclusions leads to verbal abuse, or Lashon Hara, which is exactly what happened with Miriam. And she had to go outside of the camp for 7 days, Miriam and Avia. And the Ramban says, Yudavka publicized what she did. So this is interesting. My husband pointed out this article to me. So it's the YU Torah to Go Shavuos issue, okay? So it's a publication of different teachers and staff from Rabbanim from YU, and they put together, I don't know, before the Amim Tovim, these different pamphlets. So my husband pointed out to me, and it's called I Just Want to Drink My Tea. And I think that it's so relevant and so important, especially when it comes to misunderstanding, specifically Onas Dvarim, Habanas Panim. Sipping a nice, it's by Mrs. Leah Nagar powers. Okay. She's a teacher in Magen David Yeshiva in Brooklyn. Magen David. How do you pronounce it? Magen David? Okay. Sipping a nice hot cup of ginger tea is my favorite way to end a Shabbat meal. I was once a guest at someone's Shabbat table, sipping my tea, when the conversation turned to not kosher food trends. The topic seemed a bit random, but there was a context. Anyway, I was sitting in my seat when someone asked my opinion about a popular non-kosher restaurant. Before I could even say anything, someone else piped up. How could I have an opinion to begin with? Not missing a beat, I followed with my typical response, which was, I'm a Balat Teshuvah, a line I've been using for years. Then came the typical questions. Now remember, I started with Rabbi Yehuda, which we quoted last time, but I started specifically with it again. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, you're not allowed to remind a person of the sins of their past. It's Asur, it's the prohibition of Onas Tram. Why did you become frum? Was it hard to keep Shabbat? What do you miss from before? Inevitably, there's one person who's more curious than everyone else and just can't let the topic go. Someone will proceed to poke on my defense. Someone starts asking personal questions about my family. It's a very eye-opening piece, and I think that it's very courageous of her to put it in here, but clearly she's trying to bring us some education in regard to Onas Dvarim. Sometimes someone else will get involved and change the subject. By the way, it's in here because it seems to be there's a section based on conversion because of Rus. It's because of Megillas Rus, specifically for Shavuos. Sometimes someone else will get involved, change the subject, but more often than not, there will be a big pause until I gave a rushed answer. So she quotes the Shlah, Shnei Luchos Habris, Rabbi Horowitz, and in the Shnei Luchos Habris, he describes the phrase when a convert lives amongst you. And he says, the Torah reminds us not to discuss with others potentially sordid pasts when you have your own to deal with. So the Shlah says, when the convert lives amongst you, why do you have to harp on someone else's past? Everyone here could think of, I'm sure all those people who are haranguing her with 100 questions have their own little peccala of sins just because they were from birth that they have to deal with. He goes on to remind us, oh, this is very relevant to the book of Bamidbar. The Shlah points out, the Bnei Yisrael committed acts of Avodah Zarah and Averus while in Egypt. I'm taking it even from Egypt. Ongoing in the desert, in this week's parsha, the Hisayvu Taiva, they desire me. Next week is the Chet of the Meraglim. By the way, why is Meraglim right after Miriam? What does Rashi say? Mishaim halalu ra'u velo lachu musr. These wicked ones saw what happened with Miriam. They didn't take musr. So the basic shot is she spoke Lashon Hara, they spoke Lashon Hara. But Salvechuk says the root of the sin is the same. Salvechuk says they didn't appreciate Miriam with Segula. And what didn't the Meraglim appreciate? That Eretz Yisrael was Segula. Okay. So the Shlah says, the Bnei Yisrael committed acts of Averus and Avodah Zarah in Egypt. We have no right, therefore, to command a convert, Gerim Hayisim Be'aretz Nachriya. The two were Gerim. Then, she quotes the Talmud, in Maseches the Gemara, Maseches Bava Metzia, which is exactly what Biderman quotes. Details of prohibition of Ona'as Dvarim. And you know how she translates Ona'as Dvarim? We translate as verbal abuse. She writes, causing someone emotional suffering. That is very profound. Because ona'as dvarim doesn't really mean emotional suffering. What does it literally mean? Ona'as dvarim, abuse through words. But what is the...
Yeah, but verbal abuse
the what?
Verbal abuse.
Say it again.
Verbal abuse causes emotional suffering.
Correct. So I was going to say, what is the result? I guess that's what I'm looking for. Of ona'as dvarim. Emotional suffering. One example the Mishnah gives refers to Baal Teshuvah. So the Mishnah in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Im haya Baal Teshuvah lo mar lo yamar lo zechar ma'asecha rishonim. So don't start asking his opinion on not kosher food. How was it when you lived in the fields of Moab? You ask us, how was it in the palace of Eglon? Was it good food? Imhu ben gerim lo yamar lo zechar ma'asecha v'secha. If he's the child of converts, don't say remember what your parents did. These statements are fairly clear. Don't remind the Baal Teshuva, the converts, about their past. Furthermore, the Gemara continues, Im haya ger ubala mo Torah al yamar lo pesh achan de velos vetrefos. If he comes to learn Torah and he's a convert, you're going to say to him, the mouth that ate nevelos, animals that were in shechted properly, torn, and trefos, not kosher, shkatzim, insects, veramasim, and creeping things, bala mo Torah, shenemar mepia gver, you're going to take this mouth that ate not kosher, and tref, and animals, and bugs, and you're going to come learn Torah from mepia gver. It's interesting here that the juxtaposition of kashrus in regard to onas dvarim. We use kashrus as a way to verbally abuse the person. Now she says, most people are decent and kind. I would never think of saying anything. However, Chazal were using possibly an extreme example to illustrate how it feels for the convert in such a situation. How would you feel? Attacked, embarrassed, isolated, inferior? If you have been following me so far now, she says, you will see the conversation I'm describing usually goes as it comes out that I'm a convert. And she writes in brackets, surprise, exclamation mark. Then the questions become increasingly more invasive. Once it comes out that she's not only a Baal Shuva, but a Gioras. At this point, I tend to do one of two things, feign fatigue or steal myself with another cup of tea. Now, it's very interesting, speaking about Onas Tvarim, and again, we're sort of using that paragraph of the Chofetz Chaim as a springboard for our class, coupled with this week's Parsha and the lack of understanding, whether it's because, like Rav Zilberstein brings down, they didn't think Moshe married someone of good enough yichus, which has, by the way, tremendous implications for today's shidduch situation. They called the shidduch crisis, but they thought that her yichus wasn't good enough, says Rav Zilberstein, says Rav Salavitchik. They thought they didn't understand Moshe's segula quality according to the Pasha Pshat. They couldn't understand why he married this cushy woman. Why did he have to divorce her? By the way, that's also something that's relevant in our society. People, Rahman and son, split up, and then everybody wants to know, why do people have to get divorced so quickly? It's so interesting that all these things are really here in the Torah, and so much misunderstanding leads to Onas Tvarim. So I'll tell you something. Anyone have comments or questions? I realize I'm talking the whole time. Okay. It's very interesting. Someone sent me a screenshot of something that Ivanka Trump, I think I'm tweeted or posted, I have no idea, after Shavuos. Okay. So it wasn't necessarily something that was the Mahalach of Torah. Right. So after careful consideration, and it was a person that I felt I could respond in such a way to, I replied back, I said, please forgive me, but three things. And again, I felt that I could respond to this specific person. You have to be very careful. I said three things. I said, first of all, if she is a kosher gioris, which apparently she is, because Rav Herschel Schechter was involved in her conversion. My husband heard this from Rav Shai Schechter, and it is a kosher conversion. So the first thing I said is, this is Motzi Shem Ra Lashon Hara. Second thing I wrote is, who the heck cares about Ivanka Trump? ! And the third thing I said is, and it's very interesting, this was before I prepared this class, I said, and this is what the Shla says, I said, everyone has their own pekel. I said, we're nichshel in things every single day. So why am I going and pointing out somebody else's flaws? Why do I have to focus on the flaws of another Jew? And perhaps sometimes we tend to view a convert or a Baalei Teshuva as less than Jewish, if you will. But Lamaisa, we're passing assumptions and passing judgment. And that is one of the things that Rabbi Zilberstein says happened here with Tzipora. They thought, wow, she's from Midian, she's not from the Shiftekha, why did he marry her? So this woman writes that she's a convert. Then the questions are more invasive. Either she pretends she's tired or she has a cup of tea. After all the questions, she hears the most common comment of all. You're so inspirational. Can you share your story? She doesn't like this. Now, this last comment may seem harmless, but I would like to argue otherwise. We have to spend a certain amount of time, she is learning how to fit into the Frum community. What to say when, how to just imagine being part of this world and not knowing a thing about it. We sitting here have no concept of what that means. What Hechshirim to look for. These are all things we have to navigate as we find our place in this world. After this transitional period, we want to be accepted like any other from birth person. We don't want others to remind us of our past. I would like to suggest as we celebrate Shavuos, we take time to think about how we could be more sensitive to converts and Baalei Teshuva, not just because of Rus, but stories such as Rus can be inspiration, but we need to be sensitive. And you know, it's so interesting, when they came back from the fields of Moab, one of the things that the townspeople of Beis Lachem said is, Hazos Naami? Is this Naami? And she says, don't call me Naami, call me Mara. I went Malaya, Verekam, Hashivani Hashem. She feels she has to justify with an answer, because you could imagine the gossip going around the town that Naami went with a husband and two children and all her flocks, and the flocks all died, the husband died, the two sons died. She comes back with a shiksa daughter-in-law, excuse me. That's what people would say today. So before we jump to conclusions, she ends and she says, I and many, many others don't want to be treated as a separate group from the rest of the community that you find inspiration from. She puts that in quotes. We just want to bake challah, daven in a minyan, learn Torah, and enjoy an evening out like anyone else. Please don't make us pay for our supper by harassing us with questions. We just want to drink our tea. So it's extremely powerful, very open, and it's really a lesson to all of us. So often curiosity and misunderstanding and misconception and not understanding the skula nature of each and every Jew really leads to incorrect assumptions and causes terrible pain to other people. So we have to truly keep that in mind. So I'm going to share one more story and then we will go to the Chavetz Chaim, a lesson a day. Let me just see if I told you what I want to tell you. Okay, any questions or comments? Mamish, feel free.
I want you to know, I always feel bad for Bali Chubas, and if you ask me why I feel bad, they took the time to learn and want to become part of us, and a lot of us, you know, from birth, or people don't want to accept them, and I've seen it many, many times, whether it's yeshivas, whether it's in the Shidduchim world, and it's really not fair. If anything, they should be put on a higher level than us, because we were firm from birth. We didn't have a choice. I'll give you another example, because it's a very personal example. I didn't cover my hair until I was married 10 years. And when I was about to cover my hair, I had lots of my friends that were covering my hair and said, don't do it, it's so hot, you're not going to enjoy it. You know,
really?
If it was up to us, I would love to take it off, because we had no choice. You have a choice, don't do it. And I want you to know, to this day, and it's my daughter's, when my last daughter was born, I took a snood with me to the hospital. There's a reason why I covered my hair. There's more to it, but it doesn't matter at this point. But when I covered my hair in the hospital right after she came, when I gave birth to her, so she's 20 years old. And 20 years, I've been putting on my shades on, and every day I feel like a queen when I put it on.
You feel?
Like a queen that I put it on. It means more to me. And my kid said, it means more to you because you did it on your own choice, not because you had to. And to tell you the truth, these Baal Teshuvas, they did it because they had a choice. And it's really a big difference when you have a choice and you do something. It means a lot more to the person than when you're firm from birth or you had to do it because your mother did it.
Expected.
Yeah. And I can say personally, the only thing I can relate about tshuva to is when I covered my hair.
In this specific union, wow. So two things.
I really agree. That's
two things.
Give them a little bit, if anything, they should be a little bit.
What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, one thing is b'makom shabali teshuva omdim ein sadikim gemurim omdim. So the Gemara tells us some place where the repentant stand, the completely righteous don't stand for the reason that you're explaining, because someone who never had those nisyonos can't compare it to someone who had to overcome them. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is gadol hametzuva va'osa mimisha eino metzuva va'osa. Chazal explained that one who is obligated and does is greater than one who is not obligated and does. You would think it would be the opposite. But once you're obligated, gadol hametzuva va'osa mimisha eino. No, maybe that doesn't apply here. I think it doesn't apply. One second. It doesn't apply. I forget what I just said. Okay, so let me tell you, very, very powerful. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so let me just end with one more vignette brought down by Rav Biederman in regard to Onas Dvarim and Habanas Panim, making assumptions, and that we bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem. Remember how we started with the words of Chavetz Chaim? We bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem when we do act, speak, assume, behave properly. So Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Weiss, that's all, the Rav of Yerushalayim, the author of the Minchas Yitzchak, was married 3 times. Rav Biederman brings down his story. This is his story, which he told over himself, quoting the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Weiss, I'm quoting Rav Biederman. When he was young, travel is difficult. Unlike today, you could get anywhere in the world within a day or two. A shidduch was suggested. The girl and her, talking about shidduchim and assumptions, and chozrim b'tshuva, the girl and her family lived far away, and Miriam and Aaron, the whole thing they were talking about was the shidduch. Okay. Since the girl and her family lived far away, it was hard for the Minchas Yitzchak's parents to travel there. They sent a shaliach. Check out the girl, check out her family. The shaliach said, they sent an Eliezer. It's a fine match. Rav Yaakov Yitzchak was engaged from a distance. As the wedding day drew closer, the Weisses traveled to the Kala's hometown for the chasana. When the mother, the Minchas Yitzchak's mother, saw the Kala, she was very disappointed. It was not a proper match for her son at all. She wanted to terminate the shidduch. According to Halacha, it was permissible, but Rav Yaakov Yitzchak says, perhaps with time I will divorce her. Right now, I do not want to embarrass her. They were married. They had one son, Rabbi Beirish. His wife subsequently was killed in war. Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak remarried the daughter of the Rav of Vasloy, Zchusi Agen Aleinu. After, I don't know what happened to that marriage, he married the daughter of the Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz, Zchusi Agen Aleinu. But with both of those subsequent wives, he did not have children. His only child, his only son, is Rabbi Beirish, born to the woman he did not want to shame. Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak himself testifies, "Doctor told me it was impossible for me to bear children. Beirish was a miracle. I am certain I merited this only child as a reward for not embarrassing a Jewish girl." Okay. So that is how I wanted to end this portion of the class. I think that we had a very powerful, relevant ha'aros, based not only on the parasha, some based on Shavuos, but relevant to all of us in life. Does anyone have questions or comments for that? No? Okay. I just want to put it out there that you're welcome to. Okay. Having ascertained that the negative information is accurate, and the perpetrator was not justified, and reproof has proven unsuccessful, a final condition must be met before information can be conveyed. So the negative information is accurate, the perpetrator was not justified, the action was wrong, reproof has proven unsuccessful. So you tried other ways before you spoke negatively. I believe we said this, but I'm repeating it now in light of our class, now that I'm looking over, I think we said it, the speaker must be certain the sole intent is l'to alas, for constructive purposes. If you remember that Rav White's Shlita texted me when I asked him about this inyan, and he said it is very, very hard to relay information absolutely l'to alas, because so often my negativity and subjectivity is involved. If he knows in his heart he is pleased to cast the perpetrator in a bad light, he's not permitted to speak, even though the purpose cannot be accomplished in any other way. So it's not so partial to say I am allowed to relate something with Lito Alice. The question is, how much are you really Lito Alice, and how much are you, thank you so much, subjective in that you want to spread the Lashon Hara? It is lowly to speak negatively, even for a constructive purpose. And perhaps this reflects back to the parasha of Miriam and Aaron, because they really believed, and we're talking about Miriam HaNaviah and Aaron HaKohen Gadol, they were not speaking because they had nothing better to do and they wanted to know the gossip of the day in town. Chas v'shalom. It was absolutely the to'alas. But it is lowly to speak negatively, even for a constructive purpose, which is why the Ramban says we should absolutely publicize this. This is especially challenging when one is required to speak about a person with whom he does not get along. It is first necessary to eradicate negative feelings towards the person, and only then can negative information be spoken. So do we realize how challenging this is? You know, first eradicate your negative feelings, and you could speak Lashon Hara that's to Alas. You have to think very carefully before we go ahead and speak the words, because the Maisa, who can absolutely eradicate those negative feelings, especially if there's a negative history there, obviously very, very difficult. I wanted to point something else out about Miriam and Aaron and Moshe that occurred to me. I'm just putting it out there. It's just a food for thought. Miriam was really the one responsible for Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Right, the Gemara says she got her parents to get back together. It's Perek Beis, the beginning of Perek Beis. And Shemos, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Espas Levi. I just saw the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel on the Chumash explains that Aaron went and retook Yocheved after the decree of Paro. She was responsible for this. She is the one who stood by the reeds of the Nile River. It's true Aaron was there, says the Baal Turim, but she was the one who was proactive. When Bas Paro can't nurse, what does she do? I'm going to go get a nurse, a wet nurse, who will feed the baby. She stood by the Nile River, and her zchus, the Mayim, water. Moshe's name is Minamayim Mishisiu, from the water I drew him. She's responsible for the water that sustains the people. She leads the woman in Shira. She can take mar, bitter in life, and make it roam, lift herself and others up. And here, the one sin we know about Miriam is to call her dibur. Okay? So one thing we know about Miriam, it's very interesting that she, who is older than Moshe, obviously, she was by the river and he wasn't born yet. She was a child, he wasn't born yet. Her downfall comes from Korach HaDibur. And what's very interesting, Moshe's sin in Chukas, which is coming very soon, according to the Rambam and Rashi later in the Chumash, is that he became angry at the people. Okay? According to Rashi, in Chukas it said he struck the rock, but according to the Rambam, and Rashi actually quotes this later in Bamidbar, Shimuna Hamorim Hamin Hasala Hazen Notzi Lachamayim, his downfall also comes through Koach HaDibur. By the snare, his problem was also Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. After the death of Nadav and Avihu, he becomes angry at Moshe and Elazar, at Aaron and Elazar and Tamar. So what's very interesting about Moshe is Miriam saw sin. What we see was this Lashon Hara, which is abuse or misuse of Koach HaDibur, and that's where Moshe's feelings are, through abuse or misuse of Koach HaDibur as well. So I don't want to put out there that he learned from his older sister, but in a way she is responsible for his life. And we see that her single failing, which is very hard for us to understand because she said such a deikas, leads to his ultimate failing, which does bans him from Eretz Yisrael. It's just a thought that I had. It could be wrong, but I thought it was compelling that she sins with Koach HaDibur and then Moshe ultimately sins with Koach HaDibur and it's not allowed in Eretz Yisrael.
So when is Toalas applicable? Like here with Miriam, it was she had a toela. She wanted to bring them back together. She wanted to cause shalom bayis, just like she brought her parents back together. She wanted to bring Moshe back with his wife. So would that be considered like when she's speaking to Aaron the toelas?
I don't understand.
When you there are certain times you're allowed to speak lashon hara the toelas.
Oh, that, you're saying here. I understand what you're saying. The root was really. Okay, very nice. She was the one who brought her parents back together. So perhaps here she couldn't understand why Moshe's making the same mistake as her father and her mother. Very nice. Very nice point. So we see that she was incorrect. That's what Rav Salvechik says. They failed to understand the skula quality of Moshe. He was not like any other Nevi'im. He always had to be ready for Nevu'ah. That's why when Hashem appears to Moshe, to Aaron and Miriam, she says they were in the middle of relations. And Hashem comes and chances upon them so that they would realize that Moshe cannot be with a woman. They start screaming, water, water, because there's Hashem, and they are in an impure state. But you're saying it really very nice, Sarah, that what she did with her parents, she's trying to do with Moshe and Sipora, bring right. them back together.
Right, but also that she's speaking to Aaron, not, you know, not to shame Moshe or not to put him down, but in order to fix things, to, you know what I'm saying, like a toelas, like that was her toelas. So I don't understand the idea of toelas, really what I'm trying to say. When are you allowed to say it, when are you not?
So that's why you really have to consult with a competent halachic posek, because you see the parameters. You have to ascertain the negative information is accurate. The perpetrator is not justified. The proof is proven unsuccessful. You have no negative feelings in your heart. You're absolutely trying to return the person the mutav, let's say. You're trying to stop the negative behavior. That, you're saying that's what Miriam was trying to do, but okay. On her level, she should have known that Moshe was not like everybody else. He was not meant to get back with his wife. Pasuk says in Devarim, after Matan Tova, Shuvu lachem le'olechem va'ata po amod imadi. Hashem said about the Bnei Yisrael, they should go back to their tents, their ohel. The ohel is a metaphor for a wife. You, Moshe, have to stay here with me. It was by the command of Hashem. And that's what Miriam and Aaron seems to have failed to understand. According to Rav, they didn't understand the school of quality of Moshe. I hear your question. It's an interesting point. So it shows us how hard it is.
Right.
And challenging. And frightening.
Right.
As noted, anything else? As noted above, yes.
Like when you say to Alice also, though, there are times that somebody just has to vent. Whatever's on them is so heavy that they can't deal with it. Or if somebody's going through therapy, they're definitely saying a lot of lashon hara.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way that they're not, when they're discussing whatever issues.
Right. So that's what Rav White's, it's worth repeating this year, that's what Rav White's texted me, I think it was last year, when I asked him this question, are you ever allowed to speak to a spouse, a close friend, something that would be considered lashon hara, but to vent? And he said, you are allowed to. We're allowed to vent or get things off your chest to a spouse or a close confidant. However, he gave, again, parameters. You have to make sure that the information is true. There are no embellishments or, what's another word, embellishments or embellishments. Wow.
Exaggerations.
There are no embellishments or exaggerations. It has to be absolutely true. It happened to, he said, not hearsay. it happened to you, it's not hearsay, and l'to'alas. And then he wrote, which is very hard, which we just saw in the Chofetz Chaim lesson a day, because it's very hard to make sure you're absolutely l'to'alas. And you have to make sure that no damage will come to the party you're speaking about, he wrote. So it's not so pasha to say, you know, we can just l'to'alas, go speak to other people. You do have to meet certain qualifications. If Shandy Hammer were here, she would say, we just shouldn't talk.
Right.
As noted above, couple minutes, the permissibility of speaking negatively for a constructive purpose is based upon the principle it is not lowly to relate negative information for a positive reason. So I do understand what you're saying. You're saying Miriam was relating it for a positive reason. This applies only to information which is derogatory but harmless. That's what Rav White said. You have to make sure that harm will not come to the person you're speaking about. However, it is forbidden to relate harmful information for a constructive purpose. So there's something different between negative information for a positive reason and something that will actually cause harm to the person you're relating about. The only exception to this rule is where one is determined the halacha allows for the subject to be harmed in that matter. So in that case, you really do have to ask a shayla. If you're in such a situation where you think you absolutely have to relay the negative information, you have to be absolutely sure you're supposed to relate the negative information. Okay, anything else?
Who is Miriam going to ask? I mean, Aaron seemed like very up there.
Aaron what?
Aaron, her brother, seemed like a nice rab to ask.
So it's very interesting about Aaron because his midah, you know, what does it tell us after the deaths of his sons? It's very famous, you all know. The sons die, and those two famous words are Vayudom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. It's really his whole attitude that follows his entire life.
She seems like
he seems, she initiated, but Tadaber Miriam ve'Aaron, but Rashi specifically says, because he pascha b'dibur techila. She initiated, therefore she's put first, and that's why she is also stricken. I mentioned Parshas Chukas. In Parshas Chukas, it's so perplexing because it's Moshe who takes the staff. It's Moshe who strikes the rock. It's Moshe who screams at the people. Aaron is punished along with Moshe, but Aaron never says anything in Parshas Chukas. In Korach, with the rebellion against the Kohuna Gadol, if you look in the Parsha, Aaron never says anything. So his whole Midah is this very passive, quiet Midah. He's a man of Shalom. It makes sense. And a person of Shalom doesn't want to use their speech too much because when you use it too much, you end up getting into trouble. So he really is a very passive person. Okay, we're just really touching the surface with a few ideas and ha'aras without delving deeply into the Mefarshim, but just to bring us some practical application and lessons that we can learn specifically related to this class from this narrative in this week's parasha. Anything else? Okay, so we should have a matzliach few weeks till we meet again, but Be'ezras Hashem.